the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved, will teach what Jesus taught, and obey as Jesus obeyed. Today is a day in the church calendar that we mark the celebration of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And it's also the beginning of Holy Week, which is this last week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion and resurrection. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but in that we see what's pretty much the main events of what we've based our faith upon. The reason why Jesus said he came all happens within this big week. And if you read through the biographies of Jesus that we have in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, more than a quarter of each one of these is based upon just that week's events. So we'll look at some of that today, but especially I want us to give a little attention to one of those biographies, which is written by Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And in that, an interesting focus that he had was starting pretty early in his book. He starts saying how Jesus headed towards Jerusalem. And then for those of you who read the sequel to that one, the book of Acts, it's interesting about how the big focus is then how the disciples head out from Jerusalem and go to the rest of the world. But just looking at the book of Luke, of how Jesus had a direction that he was headed. And what we're talking about today is that Jesus had that, and it's living with direction, living with purpose in your life, and knowing where it is that you're supposed to be headed. And why we have this, we the church, as followers of Jesus, will love as Jesus loved, will teach as Jesus taught, will obey as Jesus obeyed, is because that gives us a very strong direction of where we're headed. So we're headed towards becoming more and more in the image of Jesus, being changed into his character, which is love, being changed by his words, which is what he taught, and being changed by the actions that he has done and that his Holy Spirit will continue to work in us, which is that obedience that we speak of. So starting in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, we're told that as the time drew near for Jesus' return to heaven, he moved steadily onward towards Jerusalem with an iron will. Other things say that Jesus moved resolutely towards Jerusalem, or Jesus moved determined to go towards Jerusalem. The timeline on this that's interesting is, okay, Luke chapter 9 is not even halfway through the book. And the story of Jesus getting to Jerusalem, being crucified and resurrection, that happens about 1 year later in this story. Jesus, like a year ahead of time, is moving resolutely or moving steadily towards Jerusalem. Now, just for the geography of it, it doesn't take 1 year to travel from where Jesus was to Jerusalem. So even though we're told Jesus is moving steadily or resolutely, it doesn't mean that he moved hastily. And that's something when, as we talk more about Jesus living with direction and how we should live with direction, there are times in our life where you go, oh, this is the direction that my life is supposed to be going. And so we think we have to get there as quickly as possible. And Jesus was determined in what he did, but he wasn't hasty with it, and he didn't always try to cut in the straightest line. And interestingly enough, likely in this time, it's even that Jesus went to Jerusalem and then left Jerusalem and went back. So we're just told early ahead of time, Luke is making sure we know, Jesus' end goal is Jerusalem. But it's not so much about the place, but it will be the work that he does there, and we'll see that a little later. But as Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem, there is one thing that's very well known, and that's other people know that his goal is Jerusalem. And that's part of being steadily determined. That in your life, maybe you're not trying to get as quickly as possible to the destination, but people know where you're going. And that's part of, in this church, I want people to know where we're going. Our direction is looking at Jesus' life and becoming more like Jesus. Because we're told later in the story, so Jesus sends some messengers ahead of him. They go into a town in Samaria to make everything ready for him. But the people there would not welcome him. For what reason? Because he was set on going to Jerusalem. They knew where he was headed. That he had made clear. He wasn't being hasty, but he was being very clear in what he wanted to do. Sometimes in your life, you will face people who don't like the direction that you're headed, especially when you're very clear that your direction is following the path that Jesus has set for you, is following the Holy Spirit in that direction. And Jesus gives us an example here of being willing to move steadily, of being willing to go whether or not people like it. Jesus didn't go to this town and say, oh, well, yes, I'm going to Jerusalem, but I'm also, you know, I have other places in mind as well. I'm thinking about Beijing and Tokyo, and I'm going to branch out a little bit. Sometimes people will disagree with the direction that God has set for you. And Jesus continued to move steadily toward that. But then the response of some of Jesus' disciples is interesting. After the people in Samaria have just said, no, we will not accept you, Jesus, because of what your direction is, James and John, who are some of the followers of Jesus, they saw this and said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire on these people? I don't know who comes up with that idea first. Who turns to the other and says, what do we do to them? Let's see if we can call down fire. But Jesus turns to them and scolds them. And some of the versions of the Bible include this sentence, and I like it, especially this last part, because Jesus tells them very specifically what his direction is. It's not simply the destination of Jerusalem, but he says, the Son of Man did not come to destroy the souls of people, but to save them. My intention, my goal, my direction is this, to save people, to come and save them from their sin, to free them from their addictions, to free them from the things that have held them captive. And sometimes people won't even understand your direction. And his followers didn't understand his direction was not, I get to Jerusalem and leave everyone else in the dust if I can. His goal was to save people and show them compassion. So the first thing he did was he moved steadily despite disputes, despite disagreements. But then he also kept moving despite having threats. A couple chapters further in Luke 13, we're told that some of the Pharisees came to Jesus and said, well, get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And Jesus is unscathed. How many of you have ever had a death threat made on you? Not many. We've had a few. I don't know how you felt in that one, but I don't know if you just decided to be like, whatever, go tell that fox that I'm going to do whatever I want to do. But that's Jesus' response. Despite them saying, someone wants to kill you, Jesus says, I have to do what I have to do. Listen, I'm going to keep casting out demons. I'm going to keep healing people. I'm going to finish my work, but I must be on my way because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jesus is saying, I am heading towards Jerusalem, and Jesus knew that the direction he was headed was going to end in his death. And again, he's determined in what he's going to do, and he's starting to let people know, even if they don't understand it. But Jesus said, I will finish my work. Threaten me as you want. Say whatever you want. I will continue because I know this is what my direction is. I know this is what my calling is. And in your life, hopefully you will have a moment, you will know the direction God has for you, that no matter what people say, no matter what people do, no matter what threats are even made against your life, you say, my life is in God's hands. And sometimes we have had stories in this church of people who have been threatened. There was a girl who came to this church. She's moved away, but Christine and I were talking with her just in the last month. And she didn't come from a Christian family. She decided to follow Jesus and recently told her family. And they said to her, if that's your choice, then you're dead to us. You're no longer considered our daughter. You're no longer part of our family. And I know it was painful for her. But she wasn't going to change her decision or her direction because she knew that the direction she was taking was the correct one. And sometimes following Jesus will be painful, and sometimes it will lead to people not understanding or to people even threatening you to push you away. But continue to be faithful. And yet, his heart was still for people. In the verses that come right after that, he, even though he said, I'm prophet, I'm going to get killed in Jerusalem, he starts lamenting for them. He says, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you like children. I wanted to gather you in my arms. I've wanted what's best for you, is pretty much what he's saying. He says, you won't see me until you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus is making a prophecy about himself that we're going to see in the triumphal entry as he comes up to it. A few chapters further in Luke 17, we're told now Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and it tells another story of him healing lepers. And then again in Luke chapter 18, Jesus, he's trying to make it very clear what his direction is. And he says to his 12 apostles, these men that are his interns that are closest to him, he pulls them aside and says, we're going to Jerusalem. By now, 4 or 5 times, he keeps saying over and over, this is my direction, this is my direction, this is my direction. You all know where I'm headed. And he'll be turned over to those who are evil. They'll laugh at him, they'll insult him, they'll spit on him, they'll beat him with whips, and they'll kill him. That's happy message to share with your friends. Hey guys, this is what we're doing. I am set on this for sure. But it's going to lead to laughing, spitting, whipping, and death. But on the third day, he will rise to life again. And then the amazing thing. The apostles did not understand this. He tries to be as clear as possible. And he's misunderstood. And instead of saying, fine, I give up, I've kept trying, and, you know, I just give up. You don't understand. You're never going to understand. I give up. Have you ever had that feeling with people that you've tried to tell them something over and over, and they just don't get it? You're like, why don't you understand? His friends, his disciples, they several times were trying to be like, maybe we shouldn't go that way. In the book of John, we're told of one time where Jesus says, I'm going to Judea, which was the region that Jerusalem was in. And they say, I don't think you want to go there. Last time you went there, they tried to stone you. Maybe we shouldn't go. And he said, I have to go. That's my direction. And then finally, one of them, Thomas, at least says, well, if he's going to go, we might as well go and get ourselves killed. But at least he was willing to go. I give Thomas more credit than sometimes he receives. But sometimes people will misunderstand you. But then we finally get to the moment where Jesus reaches Jerusalem. What he said comes true. In Luke chapter 19, verse 36, we come forward to what we celebrate today. It's called the triumphal entry. And why it's called that is Jesus, who's been traveling towards Jerusalem, he's traveling towards Jerusalem, he's on his way towards Jerusalem, he's saying we're going towards Jerusalem, he finally gets to Jerusalem. And when he comes in, it's an exciting party, actually. People go ahead, they get this colt, this donkey for Jesus to sit on, so Jesus is riding on a donkey, and people are putting their coats down on the ground, and they're waving palm branches, and there's just this line. It's like a motorcade without the car, it's a donkey. But there's this motorcade heading from the city of Bethany towards Jerusalem. And Jesus comes over this hill, and there is Jerusalem in sight. And people are singing, and they're rejoicing. And, I mean, Jesus is having his 15 minutes of fame. He's the center of attention, and he's the talk of the town. A lot of people are excited about it. Some people are very unhappy with it. But love him or hate him, everyone's talking about him. And they say what he actually prophesied they would say. God bless the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in that name. Which is taken from this old song book, the Psalms. Jesus is having this great moment. He has decided his direction is towards Jerusalem, and he reaches direction. Job finished, right? Not quite. Because his direction was not about reaching a destination as a place. It was about the work that he was supposed to do. And so even with popularity, even with fame, even despite all the things that people are now excited about Jesus, he knows that his job isn't finished yet. And sometimes that will be a roadblock that you'll come to in your life when you know that you have a direction that God is heading you toward, And at first, maybe people won't like it, or you'll have those threats, or you'll have misunderstandings, but then there might come this moment where people all start liking your idea, and you'll think, this is great, this is perfect, I've now done what God wanted me to do. But make sure that you complete the task. And don't just be happy with everyone else liking the idea. Actually complete what God has called you to do. And Jesus has this moment in John chapter 11. So this is very soon after. He's just had this walking into the city or riding into the city, and everyone is excited. But Jesus says, my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it's for this reason that I've come to this hour. I can't quit now. I can't give up now. Despite the fact that he knows what lies in front of him. He's been telling them, I will die. And before I die, I will be whipped. And I will be laughed at. And I will be scorned. But I can't stop now. And even after the 15 minutes of fame goes away, and after everyone talking about him, instead of saying good things about him, starts saying bad things about him, he says, this is why I came. This was my direction, and I will continue. And so he says, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. And he said this to indicate the kind of death he would die. He would be nailed to a cross, and he'd be raised up in the air. But in doing that, he would be fulfilling our greatest need to be able to reconnect with God and all the things that had held us apart and all the shame that we could have had and the guilt that we had. He took upon himself instead and said, all of that is paid for. And that we'll talk about more next week, of Jesus finally reaching the destination of his direction. Not the place of Jerusalem, but reaching the moment of complete obedience to God, which led even to his death. We're told that Jesus became obedient as a son, obedient even to the point of death. And next week we see both the death, but then also the joy of the life that he had. So despite heartache, despite knowing, he says, my soul is troubled within me. Even Jesus admitted, it's not like I love everything that I get to do and I'm just happy with it. But he was faithful in it and he would be obedient to it no matter what. So if that was Jesus' direction, what's our direction? What's your direction? And part of that is we follow that same direction of self-sacrificial love, of taking up a cross. See, going back in Luke chapter 9, before we even get started on Jesus saying, I'm heading towards Jerusalem, Jesus had already told them that he was going to die. Verse 21 of chapter 9, he says, the Son of Man must suffer, and he will be killed. And right after saying, I'm going to die, I'll be buried, I'll raise back to life, then he looks at his disciples and says this, and if anyone wants to come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself, but he must take up his cross and follow me. And then after Jesus told them that, then we see Jesus resolutely starts going in the direction of being that example first, of denying himself, taking up his cross. And he says, come follow me. Is that how you live? Honestly. Do you live out that thing we said, we the church, but do you as a person truly live so that you can love as Jesus loved, or teach what Jesus taught, or obey as Jesus obeyed? Do you come to church just to hear about others who are following Jesus, or are you doing it yourself? How do you start? Well, that love, that teaching, and that obedience is a good place. First, receiving his love. Because the goal of this is not simply do, do, do. It starts with Jesus loved. Jesus loved us first. And so out of us receiving that love, then we learned, okay, how do we then love like that? How do we show patience and gentleness like that? How do we share peace like that? How do we forgive like that? We start by first learning what Jesus taught, and then we teach that along. And honestly, everyone can be a teacher. You may not feel like it, but I mean, every day there are people who wouldn't call themselves teachers who can teach about what happened on their favorite TV show. They'll teach someone how to use this new app on their iPhone that they found and they love, or teach how to cook this cake that they really loved and they've put on Pinterest. I mean, there's all these ways that we know how to teach people. It's just telling them what you're excited about and sharing what you've learned. We all can teach what Jesus taught us. And then seeing Jesus' obedience and learning to follow that. First, giving him our attention. I was talking with one of the guys in the church just in the few days I've been back, and it was funny. He reminded me of something I'd said a while ago. He said, Matt, last year, and it was last year in January, I even remember which sermon it was, but he said, you asked us to say this prayer, and I didn't understand what you were talking about then, but I understand it now. The prayer that you asked us to pray was, God, here I am. Show me what you're doing. And that didn't make any sense to me in that moment. But now I think I get it. Of seeing where he's at work and then joining him in that work. When you say obey as Jesus obeyed, that's maybe it doesn't make sense to you right now. I hope that it will come clear to you, just as it did for him, that we see where God is at work. And that's among the people who are poor and the hurting, among people who are broken. God is at work there trying to bring life. Among places where we see families being put back together, that's where we see God at work. Among places where we see grace and forgiveness being shown, and we find ways to walk into that. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Let's be people who make peace. But if you want some other practicals on that, the direction of our church that we're living with this year, we said, is praying together and serving together. And that requires you making decisions and you making time for that. Do the decisions you make in a day, do you think, okay, does this lead me towards prayer? Does this lead me towards serving others? Does this help facilitate me having time to do that together with people? Am I making enough time in my schedule? Do I put time in my agenda so I can serve? Do I put time in my day so I can pray? Or do I fill it up with lots of other things? Those are decisions that will affect the direction that you live. Some of the ways that we do it as a church for prayer, some of the focuses we have, one is connect groups. That having those groups that meet up once a week to just pray together. We have other things that happen in those groups, but prayer is a main point. And even we have to make a decision in those groups. We can spend a lot of time just talking to each other, or we can focus on also spending time talking with our Heavenly Father as a group. This last weekend we had 48 hours of prayer. Or we've been doing these mornings of prayer Tuesday and Thursday up on St. Peter at 7:15. And then I was excited to hear while I was gone that some people decided, hey, you know what, let's start one in Falkenberg, except we'll do it at night at 7:15 instead. And so there are people praying together. And that was, I love hearing those sorts of things where people in our church decide, how can we encourage one another on to praying together more? It's fine with me. If you want to come up with creative ways to do it, do it. Because that's the direction that we want to be living our lives, as people who keep our ears attentive to what God is saying. It's so easy to just feel like we know how we're supposed to live and just living that way without giving God the attention that he asks for. Because sometimes he has surprising little things that we don't think of if we're not paying attention. That there are people that he wants us to talk to, or moments where he just wants us to stop and pay attention. Serving together, we also are doing that with our Connect groups, being intentional with that, this food package program. We have 29 people willing to walk 40 kilometers. That is incredible to me. If you look at the people in this room today, I mean, that's what, a third of us? That's a lot of people. And that's a long way. I've walked it before. And that's a blessing. And that's something where I see people are making some of those choices. Okay, how can we serve? Well, I can walk. Or those that say, I can give towards those who are walking. And also through Serve the City and things that we're doing. And then another direction that, for me, I feel is the direction God's wanting me to be focused on, but then us as a church is also in our missions. And so we are going to be going to Mallorca in June, and then we have this team coming in July, and then in Kenya, we're going also in July. And for like a month and a half, there's going to be something going on so that we can be focused on both this city and people all around the world. And going to Albania in probably October. I'm excited about these things because I feel it's the direction God has for us. Not everyone understands why we feel called to follow Jesus. When Jesus says, go to all the world, tell this good news about who I am. Teach them to obey everything I taught you. Because that's the life that leads to true life. It's a life that's worthwhile. Even when people don't understand, even when they love you 1 minute and hate you the next, even when you have heartache, even if people threaten you and say, if you do this, something will happen to you. It's worthwhile to live with the direction God has placed